Bible explains that the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain our great God. I'm thankful to be here this morning. You were missed last week. We always miss you when we're not here, and it's always good to be back and to be able to see those of Life Precious Faith and to be able to be together once again. I appreciate CL filling in for me last week. I heard good things about that message, and that's been uploaded to the website, both his and Ray's sermons from last Sunday. So if you have opportunity, be sure to jump online and listen to those sermons as well as Brother Greg's Bible class. It's good to see you this morning. We did have a good meeting last week. It was an encouragement to be with those at Bethel, and it's always especially good when a precious soul obeys the gospel of Christ. And during the week before that, we were blessed to be able to work with a church at Crystal in Estill County in a gospel meeting, and we appreciate being with them as well. I invite you to open your Bibles out and to follow along with me and make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the will of God. And you be a good student of the Bible and make sure that what I'm saying is right. If you find that I miss a mark in any way, then you don't hesitate to point those things out to me that I can make correction of it and never preach it again. Certainly don't want to fail to say that it's good to see Blaine and Flora back with us. We miss them when they're not here, and it's always good to see them. We're thankful that they had a safe trip back with us, and it's good to see the visitors with us as well. The word vain is found in at least 102 verses in the Bible. In the New Testament, there are at least four Greek words that this English word vain was rendered from, and it can mean to no purpose, to no avail, without use, without reason, empty, gratuitously, or to prat tediously. So I'd encourage you, if you came to do a word study on how that word is used in the New Testament, and see what the Bible says about that. This morning in our sermon, I want us to think about some things that can be made vain. Things that can be made vain. And the first one that I want you to think about is the fact that belief can be made vain. Belief is something that is absolutely essential in the Christian faith. Jesus stated that in no uncertain terms in Mark 16:16, when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, Paul says, "By which you are also saved." And he's talking about the gospel in verse 1. He makes that clear, that they were saved by the gospel, "by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory the things that I have preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain." When we don't stand in the gospel, when we don't stand faithful to God in what the Bible teaches, then our belief is rendered vain, to no avail, without purpose, useless. And so we've got to be careful that we make sure that we're faithful to God, lest our belief is made vain. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as we think about another thing that it can be made vain, and that is our faith. Our faith can be made vain. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and we spend a great deal of time in the great book of Hebrews. He gives us a good Bible definition of what faith is. In Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, when he says, "Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Then in verse 6 he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so there's no doubt that we must have faith. But yet faith can be made vain. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll actually be in this chapter for at least three of the points this morning, so you might want to hold on to that chapter. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." Of course, in the context of that, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with the fact that there is a resurrection. Some of them were denying a bodily resurrection. And he lists several things that are in fact vain if there be no resurrection. But our faith can be in vain. Do we have to have faith? Absolutely. But if we were to deny a resurrection like many of them were denied, then the Bible says that Christ is not raised up if there be no resurrection. And if Christ is not raised up, your faith is vain and you're still in your sin. But there's a third one that I want us to think about this morning, that is grace. The Bible has a lot to say about grace. Like in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." Remember that? Grace can be made vain. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Paul says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Lest His grace which was bestowed upon me were in vain." Grace means God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor, loving kindness, or love. And Paul's saying, the grace of God that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Lest it was in vain, I labored. I did what God would have me to do. God has abundantly bestowed His love, favor, merit, grace upon every one of us. Which culminated in the sending of His Son. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "The grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all men." Taught you about that and did lessons about that along the way. But all that can be to no avail in my life, useless in my life, if I don't obey what God said. You know, I can believe it. I can even obey it initially, but if I don't stand fast in it, it's to no avail. Those things won't save me. They'll profit me nothing in the great judgment day if I'm not faithful to God. We each one need to think about that. And so our grace can be made vain. But not only that, here's a fourth one. And that's going to come from the book of Matthew. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, when the Lord is talking about, you know, what it means to be a disciple. And we've done a lot of teaching on this and did a 20 lesson series on the TV program on the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, begin with verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And hypocrite just means someone who plays a part. Not genuine. The outward appearance is not a genuine reflection of what's on the inside. He says, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, we're commanded as God's people to pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 talks about through prayer, let our supplications be made known unto God without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about, I think it's verse 17. Check me on that. A host of other passages talk about the necessity, the importance of prayer. But then the Lord goes on to say, but when you pray, use not, what's that next word? Use not vain repetitions. For, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. No, vain repetition is just a repetition for repetition's sake. And He's saying, don't do that. Don't be like the heathen are, who think that just because they prolong a prayer, they're going to be heard. When you pray, don't be like them and pray as to be seen of men. But when you pray, that's the contrast. When you pray, do it in secret, and your Heavenly Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. And so, don't use vain repetitions. There's even religions today that do that. Just repeat over and over and over. They'll take a prayer, or it might even be a prayer that they found in the Bible, such as in Matthew chapter 6, and they'll just repeat that over and over and over. Or maybe one that they have concocted along the way. And there's a lot of those that they just over and over and over. And the Lord said, don't do that to be seen of men. You have your reward. And he talks about that in several places. When you do something to be seen of men, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So don't use vain repetitions. Incidentally, prayers don't have to be long to be effective. They can be very short and effective. Go back and read in the Bible. As you're studying maybe through the Bible in a year, if you're following that on the bulletin, weekly reading each week, think about prayer when you run across those. Think about what they were praying for. Think about who was offering that prayer. Think about what was included in that, the length of the prayer. Think about the posture of prayer. Various different postures of prayer in the Bible. But the point, don't use vain repetitions. But another one is the death of Christ can be in vain. In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 21, Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then is Christ dead in vain. Again, he's talking to individuals who are not trying to leave the system of Christianity to go back like those of Hebrew, the Hebrew letter, and serve under the Old Testament law, but they were trying to kind of mingle in both aspects of it. A little bit out of the Old Testament, mingled in with a little bit of the New. And that won't work. Didn't work then, won't work today. They dealt with that early on after the church was established. And Acts chapter 15, basically the whole chapter is about that. As some brethren troubled the hearts of the disciples and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses or the law, you cannot be saved. They were trying to mingle in some of the aspects of the Old Testament law. And he says, don't do that. But he said, if you're justified by the Old Testament law, then Christ is dead in vain. And what that's teaching you and that's teaching me is, if it could have been the case that you and I were made righteous in the sight of God by the Old Testament law of Moses, there would have been no need for Christ, the Messiah. Jesus could have stayed in the comfort, the joys, and the glories of heaven, if that be the case. But he's teaching them, if you go back and do that, then what Christ suffered for you is vain. That's what he's teaching them. In Galatians 5, verse 4, Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You know, there's people today who seek to go back and try to serve God under various elements or aspects of the Old Testament law of Moses, be it their worship or whatever the case may be. And if that be the case, if we can do that and still be right in the sight of God, then Christ's death on the cross is rendered vain, useless. Now, I don't want to be in a position to do that, do you? I want what He suffered on behalf of me to count. Not to be counted as useless. But there's another one I want us to think about in the sermon this morning. That's found in Matthew 15, verse 9. When Jesus said, but in vain, there's our word that we're talking about, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Even our worship, even what we do week in and week out, can be rendered vain. That is, if we do what they were doing. If we begin to substitute the reason or ideologies or philosophies or the doctrine, commandments, teachings of men in place of the Word of God, then our worship is to no avail. Useless. Now think about that in our time today. It used to be the case that I can even remember in my lifetime that you could go to any service of the church, and when the Bible was open or when the preacher got into the pulpit or took the podium for a Bible class, it was book, chapter, and verse preaching. You could count on it. Put your finger on the text. And a lot of places are getting away from that today. And that's sad. It is only the Word of God that will save individuals. We know that's by the blood of Christ that that's possible. The Bible says that we're saved by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, we already talked about that. Our hearts are purified when we obey the gospel. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do you want me to preach to you the commandments of men or the Word of God? What will you hold me accountable to? I hope that you'll demand that the preacher, the Bible class teacher, whoever else it is. And I was making the comment this morning, we are blessed, so blessed here, to have so many capable preachers and teachers of God's Word. But we need to be attentive to what's being said, what's being done, what's being practiced and stood for. And make sure that that comes from nothing but the Word of God. If we don't, and we allow anything else to be taught, then our worship is made vain. And the last one that we want to mention to you this morning is found in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Paul, writing to Christians, said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Remember that text. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness or knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Preacher, the word vain is not in there. I know that. And I knew that when I made it a point in the sermon. But my point concerning zeal is this, that we can be zealous for God and it be in vain. Our zeal, our desire, our fire that burns in our heart to do what God would have us to do can be to no avail if we're not following what God would have us to do. Sometimes individuals, and we may be guilty of this too from time to time, so we better be careful. Don't see the sermon for everyone else except us. Sometimes we can be guilty of having a burning desire in what we're doing and being zealous toward God, and yet what we're doing is not right. And maybe we do it because we've always done that, or we thought we were right. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul thought that he was right, didn't he? When you look at what Paul stated in places like Acts 22, verse 3, he said, "I am a man who am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, and brought up in this city under the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous of the traditions or the teachings of the fathers, as you all are this day." And yet he wasn't right, and he goes on to talk about that. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and verse 14, verses 13 and 14, actually. The thought is goes back to verse 13. When he says, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my own equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of the fathers than them." Yes, he was a zealous man. Yes, he had a burning desire to even go to great lengths and travel distances to persecute those who he thought was working against God. Remember, he desired letters of the high priest and was on his way to the city of Damascus to bind and deliver back to Jerusalem those of that way. Acts chapter 9. Then he was converted after that and went on to Damascus. Or wasn't converted until he got there. Was told what he had to do. And then he preached Christ openly. Publicly declared that Jesus was the Christ, the very one that he had persecuted. We can be zealous this morning, just like those of Israel who Paul says, "My desires and prayer to God is that they would be saved." They have a desire. They have a zeal. but it's not according to knowledge. Why not? Because he said, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Are we submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God? Are we searching His Word and obeying it? Living as closely as we can to it? I hope so. Things which are made vain. How about you this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Don't allow what He suffered and accomplished on the cross be vain in your life. Obey the gospel. Become a Christian. You only can do that by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24, we talked about belief. Do you believe that? Willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, verse 3, Acts 17, 30, and a host of other passages. Change your mind towards sin, begin to do that which is right. Confess your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God before those present this morning. The Lord commanded that, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church, Acts 2, verse 47. You can go on your way rejoicing like the eunuch did in Acts 8. Knowing that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your home. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You turned your back on the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come.